And now to the business of this important day. Today, we commemorate Sir Angus Mitchell, the first member of this club and the first Australian to be world president of Rotary. He became a great leader of Rotary during the Reconstruction, which followed World War II, and he met General Douglas MacArthur. Angus Mitchell was born in Shanghai, China, and he moved to Australia with his family at a young age and settled in Williamstown, where his father worked for the Sea Pilots. He became a wheat trader, setting up his own business, and was inducted into the Rotary Club of Melbourne in December 1927 at the age of 43. He was president in the club in 1931-32 and enjoyed it so much that he retired early at age 51 and devoted the rest of his career to Rotary. He was elected district governor in 1934-35 and again in 1937-38. In 1948-49, he became the first Australian to be elected to the office of President of Rotary International. The Angus Mitchell Oration was initiated by the Board of Directors in 1971 in honour of Sir Angus Mitchell as part of the club's 50th birthday celebrations. The oration, which has been delivered by a number of very eminent Australians, is set near the birthday of Rotary, which began on the 23rd of February 1905 in Chicago, USA, founded by Paul Harris, who in later life became a close personal friend of Angus Mitchell. In June 2016, with the assistance of our member Bob Fells, a plan formed to have Rotary International President Ian Risley deliver the Rotary Club of Melbourne 48th Mitchell Oration. Ian is only the fifth Australian and third Victorian. I think that needs a round of applause. To be the Rotary International President. While President-elect and President, Ian and Juliet live in Evanston at Rotary headquarters. And this trip to Melbourne is certainly centred around today's oration, and we are greatly honoured that Ian has agreed to be this year's orator. Ian is a chartered accountant, having studied accounting and taxation law at Monash and Deakin University. He is a principal of Ian Risley & Co, a firm he established in 1976. In a distinguished Rotary career, this year Ian celebrates 40 years as a member of the Rotary Club of Sandringham. He has been Treasurer and Director of Rotary International, Rotary Foundation Trustee for 4 years, as well as a member and chair of numerous RI and Foundation committees. In fact, Ian's last visit to the club was as a guest speaker in 2012 as a trustee of the Rotary International Foundation. Ian's honours include the AusAid Peace Builder Award from the Australian Government in recognition of his work in East Timor, the Medal of the Order of Australia for services to the Australian community, the Distinguished Service Award, and the Regional Service Award for a polio-free world from the Rotary Foundation. Ian and his Rotarian wife Juliet live on 7 hectares at Murradock and practice the personal philosophy of sustainable organic living. You might say he's our first Green President. In his Atlanta Convention speech, Ian issued a call for Rotary to join the campaign to save the planet from environmental destruction, stating that it was past time for Rotary to recognise the need for sustainability in everything we do, for the good of Rotary and for the survival of our planet. Ian called on each club worldwide to plant at least one tree per member to raise environmental awareness and recognise our responsibility, not only to the people of our planet, but to the planet itself on which we live and depend. I am very proud to advise that in October 2017, our club exceeded the goal and planted 495 trees in Westgate Park at the foot of the Westgate Bridge. These saplings will leave a legacy as to your and our actions as Rotarians. I now ask all Rotarians and guests to turn your chairs, if you want, to the podium. And I'm delighted to now call on Rotarian International President Ian Risley, OAM, to come forward and deliver the 48th Angus Mitchell Oration, Rotary, Making a Difference, Now and Forever.
Thank you, President Mary, and everyone for your kind welcome. Distinguished guests, daughter Jill, pleasure to see you. We don't often get here, so that's nice. Brian and Lynn, we only send you to the best places, okay? So nothing wrong with Warrnambool, and this is the premier district in Australia. They'll tell you that many times, so that's good. It is a pleasure to be with you. I understand the strictures of a lunchtime club. Indeed, my Rotary Club at Sandringham, when it started, in fact, for the first 20 years odd, was a lunchtime club. And I remember some guest speakers saying, "How long have I got to speak?" And they used to say, "As long as you like, but at 5 minutes past two, we've gone." So, and I therefore understand that this is possibly the same. It's a pleasure to be with you again. As Mary said, I was speaking here when I was trustee of the Rotary Foundation, but I think the last time I was here, I think it was since then, I remember Tim Lane was a fascinating guest speaker, and it was a pleasure to be along here, because it's always a pleasure to come to Australia's oldest club. I know we're not competitive in Rotary, club versus club, in Australia, but I tend not to mention your status as Australia's premier club when I'm speaking in Sydney, especially given that those two pioneering Canadian Rotarians, Leighton Ralston and Big Jim Davidson from Calgary, arrived first in Sydney in 1921 and found it closed for Easter over the Royal Easter Show. And in fact, I have a quote here. It's a quote from Paul Henningham, the founding editor of the Rotary Down Under magazine. This is the quote. "They found Australia's oldest and largest city peculiarly unresponsive to matters not associated with agriculture and horticulture." As a result, of course, Big Jim and Leighton came down to Melbourne and quickly established this great club on the 21st of April 1921. I often wonder what such adventurous early Rotarians as Leighton and Big Jim would think if they could see how this Rotary organisation has developed in the centuries since then, and indeed this great club. I recently met Big Jim Davidson's grandson, Don, and his wife, Leslie, and they are justly proud of the man who was called the Marco Polo of Rotary. Now, I know you recently suffered the loss of David Whitner, who presented this oration in 2006, and I expressed my condolences to all concerned. And I do recall when I was on the board of Rotary International in 2006, then RI President Bill Boyd told me that there were two main reasons why his wife, Lorna, enjoyed coming to Melbourne so often. One of them was the Australian Open Tennis in January, and the other was so that she could shop at her favourite shoe store, Witness. We were in Wellington a few days ago, and I see a Witness shoe store there, so I don't know whether that's Lorna still keeping up the habit, but there you go. I'm conscious that two of my distinguished predecessors as RI president belong to this great club, the great Angus Mitchell, to whom you've dedicated this oration, and he's already been mentioned. He was a member of this club when he became the first Australian president, 1948-49. And I do understand that Royce Abbey was an honorary member of this club in his later years. Indeed, Royce once told me that one of his inspirations was Sir Angus Mitchell, because at one of his first meetings as a new member of the Rotary Club of Essendon in 1954, he sat next to Angus, who was a visiting Rotarian. Now, Angus obviously had an eye for Rotary talent, because he spent most of that meeting in conversation with young Abbey. And Royce was inspired by the encouragement of such a luminary and a giant of Rotary, and he resolved then, and he told me this in some detail just before he died, he resolved then to be similarly supportive of younger people as he progressed in the Rotary world. I've just come from Chicago, where the view from my office was of the frozen surface of Lake Michigan, and the temperature when I left our condo one morning to travel to the office, and this is about, would it be 200 metres, maybe 300 metres, not even that, okay, and I drove, it was so cold, it was ridiculous. The temperature was minus 1 degree according to the weather report, and I thought that's not bad. In fact, it was minus 1 degree Fahrenheit, which is about minus 18 Celsius, and that's before taking into account the wind chill for which Chicago is renowned. And so when I was researching articles for this oration, I looked at some old documents in the Rotary archives, and one of them was a book by Paul Harris called Peregrinations. Such a lovely word and much more evocative than travels. In the section about his visit to Australia in 1935, when clearly he must have planted one of those trees, Paul remarked on how warm it had been in Brisbane. And then he came to Melbourne. And he was staying with Angus Mitchell and his wife Tini at their house in Richmond, as Paul and Angus were old friends. And this is another quote. I like quotes. On the way to Angus's home, this is from that book Peregrinations by Paul Harris. On the way to Angus's home, I stopped at a store to buy some Australian wool underwear to compensate for the thinning of my blood further north, meaning Brisbane. I have to say, I wonder what Paul wore when he was at home, because believe me, I need more than wool underwear in Chicago. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about Rotary as we do it down under, and then dwell on our international impact and a bit about our future. Because Rotary is strong in this part of the world. As my grandson, your son, would say, we do good stuff. He does use that expression occasionally, Jack, good stuff. And this has been true for decades, and indeed since this fine club started in 1921. The history of great achievements is long, but allow me to dwell on just one, and that is the success that you've had with finding successful scholars for the Rotary Peace Centres. This is surely unparalleled in the Rotary world. It may have something to do, indeed possibly a lot to do, with having Bob Fels as a member, but that is indeed your good fortune. Other projects such as Interplast, ROMAC, Australian Rotary Health, all of which started in Australia and indeed Victoria, are outstanding examples of what Rotary can do when we gather our resources together. And they also show the advantage of partnerships, which I'll mention later. End Trachoma 2020 is the latest significant Australian national program led by this club. And I'm delighted to see the way in which it's been adopted right around Australia. It will be an outstanding commemoration of the centenary of your club in 2021. On the other hand, every Rotary Club has a relationship with its local community, and it's through the work undertaken in this way that Rotary is best recognised by non-Rotarians. The average member of public has little or no knowledge of our international programs, and I'll touch on that a little bit later as well. But there is a negative aspect to all things, including Rotary, and in many parts of the Rotary world, it's the level of membership. I checked the membership figures for the Rotary Club in Melbourne, comparing the figures or the membership from 2017 to the equivalent figure in 2004. I have to say I was pleased to note that your membership has actually increased slightly, from 242 in 2004 to 244 last year. Now, two members mightn't sound like much, but believe me, it is a move in the right direction. Because in contrast, Governor, in contrast, the membership in District 9800 during the same period, 2004 to 2017, fell from 2,953 to 2,381, a reduction of 572 members, or almost 20%. A similar level of membership performance can be found in many, indeed most, of the Rotary districts in Australia. Now, this trend is mirrored in many other parts of the world, such as the USA, right, the USA, Britain, and even our cousins across the Tasman in New Zealand. Its global impact is masked by a significant increase in Rotary membership in countries like India, Korea, Taiwan, and the Philippines, where membership is growing and growing significantly, so that our total membership continues to be about 1.2 million. Now, make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, if we want Australia to continue to have a strong influence within Rotary, we need to reverse our membership trend, and this is an issue for all Australian Rotary clubs. The quality of our service work is not enough to maintain our status in the Rotary world. And the number of Australians who become members of the Rotary International Board of Directors is directly related to the size of our membership. And further, our capacity to make a difference, good theme that, make a difference, in our Rotary service diminishes with our membership. Action is necessary by all Australian Rotarians, and I leave that with you as a thought. Now, I need to mention what a memorable event it was when the RI Convention came to Melbourne in 1993. Apart from the wonderful speakers and the amazingly sensational May weather, there are a number of people from various parts of the world who have told me that the friendliness of the Melburnians, Rotarians and non-Rotarians alike, was exceptional. And one of my favourite memories was when, and some of you will remember this, when President Cliff Docterman was introducing the Australian Boys Choir to sing. Apparently someone had locked the piano and they couldn't find the key. So Cliff, who is a great raconteur, the funniest man I have ever met, he just stood there and told funny stories for about half an hour until the piano was opened. And then he said, "Sorry about that long delay, here's the group that's now the Australian Young Men's Choir." He's a very clever man. Like many Rotarians, I am hopeful that the Rotary International Convention will return to Melbourne sometime soon. And I know there are people who have a vested interest in that regard, some of them in this room, so that's great. The greatest humanitarian project ever undertaken by Rotary is surely the polio eradication campaign. When we took on the task in 1985, it was motivated by the success we'd had in the Philippines in 1979, where a 3H grant, health, hunger and humanity grant, enabled over 6.5 million children to be immunised. And as a result, polio was eradicated in the Philippines. So the decision to pursue global eradication was not unanimous amongst the members of the RI board by any means. Indeed, the idea of having projects outside a single club or district, like the 3H grants, was hotly debated. I believe that history has shown this expansion of our efforts into major activities to have been the right move. We did not exactly have lots of support from the health community either at the time. Many were sceptical, at the World Health Assembly in Geneva in 1984, World Health Organization Director General Halfdan Mahler said the following. This is a quote. Many of you will not have heard this. This is the quote. Volunteer organisations have approached us, us being WHO, like this before. Do-gooders make promises but fail to follow through. We've seen it so often. A volunteer group comes to a country, starts a program, and then leaves. So Rotary, we appreciate your interest, but we'd like you to go home. That was the quote. Good news is we didn't go home. To be fair, the success of Rotary's campaign, especially in the Americas, motivated that gentleman to quickly undertake a 180-degree switch in his thinking, and he became a strong supporter of Polio Plus and our campaign. To quote observers at a health meeting in France in 1988, a light seemed to go on in Mahler's brain regarding polio eradication. Would Australia, and we've had a strong involvement, the support for polio eradication out of this country has been as good as anywhere. Rotary accepted the challenge to eradicate polio worldwide, even though it was not a unanimous decision of the board at the time. Would we have taken that on if we'd known then that it would cost as much and take as long as it has? I suspect probably not. But having taken on the task, we must see it through. Every year, the number of polio cases falls. Just 22 in the last calendar year, 2017, and 3 so far this calendar year, means we are, as the saying goes, this close. And let me emphasise, we really need to keep going, to keep going, to keep going. One of the issues with which I'm concerned is to ensure that when eradication takes place, and it surely will, Rotary receives its fair share of the recognition for that great achievement. So I've put in place a committee, naturally it's Rotary, there's a committee, to investigate this matter and to recommend any action necessary by Rotary. Imagine, if you will, the reaction of Rotarians around the world if, following the eradication of polio, the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to one of the other fringe groups who've come along now that the battle's almost over, but who are, frankly, better at publicity than we are. That must not happen. The polio eradication campaign highlights the benefit of Rotary entering into partnerships to achieve great things. World Health Organization, UNICEF and CDC help with the technical aspects, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has been a very generous funding partner in this campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stick with it. I've heard people suggest that we're down to a handful of cases, why bother? Well, the answer is, if it's not eradicated, it will return. So we must keep going. There are lots of other examples of successful partnerships at all levels within Rotary. And I believe that, frankly, that's the way of the future for us. In some areas, we have the projects and other organisations have the funds and the wish to do good. And in other areas, we have the funds and others have the expertise to assist in the implementation. A quote from Helen Keller, who said, "Alone we can do so little, together we can do so much." And that applies to the individual Rotarian as well, and reflects one of the fundamental advantages, if I may say so, of being a Rotarian and helping to harness the capabilities and energy of our 1.2 million friends right around the world. But what does the average member of the public know about Rotary and what we do? I suspect the answer is not much, and that was borne out by a survey a few years ago. The best known program was Rotary Youth Exchange, and it's wonderful to have an exchange student or two here. Does it matter that the non-Rotarian world doesn't know much about us? I suggest to you that it does. We need our potential members, sponsors and supporters to appreciate the great work done in the name of Rotary. So this year, I've asked every Rotary Club to let me have just two items of information in regard to the year ending 30th of June 2018. Just two. And I'm sure the district governor has spoken about this to every club in the district. He is nodding. And at the conference. Thank you, Peter. That's good. The two items of information are, firstly, the amount in their local currency, which I haven't been here for a while, but I understand it's still the Australian dollar, that the club has spent on humanitarian activity during the year. And secondly, and just as importantly maybe, the number of hours spent by Rotarians, their family members, Rotaractors, Interactors, youth exchange students, etc., on humanitarian activity. Once we have this information from all 35,000 plus clubs, I think the world will be astonished at the magnitude of what Rotary achieves. Possibly some Rotarians will be astonished as well, and I look forward to the opportunity to tell that story. Now, one of the innovations I've introduced this year, to which the President referred earlier, is an emphasis on environmental sustainability. I believe that Rotary has not done enough in the area since RI President Paulo Costa of Brazil had preserved Planet Earth as a program back in 1990-91. Now, I sought to do this not just because I believe in the issue, which I do, but also because I'm of the opinion that this sends a message to younger people that Rotary does care what happens to the planet. As I'm sure you know, I've asked Rotary clubs to arrange for the planting of just one tree per member, which this great club has already exceeded at Westgate Park, so I'm delighted to hear that. Thank you, President Mary. I'm frankly thrilled at the response from Rotarians, and I'm sure we will plant many more than 1.2 million trees. And in fact, I know from the competitive nature of some Rotary clubs around the world to whom I've spoken that they will plant many, many more than that. It sometimes feels like I've planted a million by myself, including one at just about all of the 56 countries that Juliet and I have visited so far. But it's fun, and I enjoy getting my hands dirty and planting things. Now, RI presidents have the opportunity to arrange presidential conferences during their year of office. Some have just one on their matter of greatest interest. Some have a few more. Call me greedy if you wish, but I'm having six. And they're all on peace building, and they relate to how the other Rotary areas of focus relate back to peace building, plus another one on environmental sustainability and peace building. We've already had three, one in Vancouver, Canada, one in Beirut, Lebanon, and one in Coventry, England, with the remaining three to be next weekend in Sydney, then in Italy, and then in Chicago. And I've been delighted with the conferences so far, with them all being very well attended indeed and beautifully organised by the Rotarians. So where are we going as an organisation? The areas of focus, and you know we have six, they do concentrate our major activity while leaving lots of scope for clubs and districts to work in other areas. I happen to believe that the area of focus where we can really make a difference on a global scale is in peace and conflict resolution and prevention. And I believe that peace will assume an ever-increasing significance in Rotary in the years to come. Rotary is very well placed to use our influence as an honest broker in just about every part of the globe. Our peace centres are very well regarded, and the trustees of the Rotary Foundation recently announced plans to expand on that number. And that brings me to my final comment. I mentioned earlier that one of your members has been at the forefront of Rotary's efforts in our peace centres, both locally and internationally. Could I invite Bob Fells to join me up here? Do your best, Bob. Because I do have a presentation to make on behalf of a grateful district. Bob?
Yeah.
Yes, we've got the names right. That's good.
We're doing well.
Okay, we are doing well. This is a recognition of outstanding service to Robert M. Fells. Is that Marmaduke? Am I close?
It's actually Miller.
Oh, okay. I'd prefer Marmaduke. Anyway. Okay. Recognition of outstanding service for your service to Rotary District 9800, to the Rotary Foundation, and to Rotary International. And this award recognises the service that Bob, as we all know him, has given to District 9800 and to the Rotary Foundation and Rotary International. Bob, you are extremely well qualified to receive this because everyone knows about your efforts, ongoing, tireless efforts for the Peace Centres and other things with the Rotary Foundation. Allow me to give you that for future reading. You'd better come round here so that people can see it, because this lovely plaque has been given to you by your friends and admirers in District 9800 as recognition of outstanding service. Please congratulate Bob Fells.
Isn't that nice? Thank
you,
have a look. Good luck.
Thank you.
You better say something.
Thank you. I'm deeply honoured that this should happen. It's an absolute surprise. It's a delight that a person who lived in the same street as me, Stumpy Gully Road, is here to make this presentation, because we've had a good association through Rotary. But it's been a great effort. But there have been a lot of other people and a family who've helped me in all of this, and they too should be recognised. But thank you, Ian, for including it, and thank you also for agreeing to my request of just over 2 years ago, mm-hmm. would you come and give the oration? It was brilliant what you had to
thank
say.
You, my Lord.
Thank you very much.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your welcome today. And thank you very much for all that you do at this great club in Rotary, making a difference. Thank you.